Welcome back to the Unraveled podcast. My name is Nina.
And my name is Alina. And today I thought it would be nice to talk about like some myths that people maybe believe or don't believe that we do as real estate agents. Mm-hmm. We've done a few myths in regards to just real estate in general. So I thought this one would be fun to do since I know people always have misconceptions about what we do mm-hmm. and what our worth is.
Yes.
Do you want to go first?
Sure. So, to be honest with you, I think the top myth that drives me crazy, and I've debated people on this before, but I think it's nuanced, is that real estate agents make easy money, that their job is easy, and they don't earn a living. So before I start, let me caveat that by saying there are always agents that don't do a good job. And in those scenarios, yes, I don't think they probably earn what they make. But if there's a really good agent and they've invested time and money in their education and they have so much experience, they're earning everything that they make. Not only that, though, I think the consumer might see an agent get a commission check and think they're pocketing that money. And that's just not the case. If a really good agent is listing and selling a home, let's say the commission check is $10,000, right? So from that $10,000, you put a third of it to taxes, and then you pay your broker, and then you have your licensing and education fees that you have to maintain throughout each month, each year. And then you have your marketing cost. So if you're doing professional pictures, video, that could be thousands of dollars. You have ads that you're running to get the property sold, signs, lockboxes, open houses. And so from that $10,000, by the time you pay for taxes, marketing, and broker, you're probably at $4,000, right? Mm-hmm. And so then from there, again, you're still not putting that in your account because you have to, you know, you still have either rent or mortgage to pay, the gas to go to and from listings to show the property. And this is if there's no concessions, you know, if there's sometimes in a negotiation, you know, the agents have to cover the difference because maybe the buyer can't or the seller can't afford to. And so they see this big check and they think, oh, wow, agents just make so much money. But they don't necessarily understand that there's a lot of things that come out of that. I saw this funny video the other day where an agent was like, took an envelope and turned it upside down. And the caption was, what's left of my commission check after I pay for taxes, insurance, broker fees. And so I wish people would understand more. Yes. Is there a way to make great money in this industry? Absolutely. But you can
That's in sales in general.
That's what I mean. It really just depends on what you're selling. You can make money as a real estate investor. You don't even have to do sales. In fact, investors Correct. Make much more money than realtors do.
Sure.
But yeah, that's just one myth that drives me nuts. Mm-hmm.
And going back to you can make more money in sales in general, you get out what you put into it.
Correct.
So if you're hustling, you're constantly working, you're trying to build your clientele, like you're being a good agent and doing all things that you're supposed to be doing, then you're going to get out what you put in it. Mm-hmm. But if you're half-assing it, quite honestly, then you probably won't be successful in this industry mm-hmm. and you probably aren't going to make anything.
No. And that's
but the harder workers usually make the most mm-hmm. money because we are harder workers.
But at least in my experience, you still get picked on by other people. Like, oh, you know, you make this much money or, you know, you've sold this many homes. It's so easy. Well, if it's so easy, then you do it too. You do it, right. Please. I mean, right. Instead of telling me all the reasons why you think it's easy to do my job, do it. Because mm-hmm. if it's so easy, mm-hmm. why weren't you successful when you tried? Mm-hmm. Or why can't you just do the same thing if it's such an easy thing? And they never do. And
Correct.
So,
Because some people fail to also understand that it takes time to build your clientele. Mm-hmm. It takes time to build rapport. It takes time to show people who you are and what you can do. Mm-hmm. And that comes with time. Mm-hmm. So yes, we may be doing well now, but I've also been in the industry for almost 8 to 9 years. And mm-hmm. I struggled in the beginning building my clientele. I was paying significant amount of money in marketing and leads because I didn't have a clientele. But now I've established all of that over the years that I'm in a better space, a better place. But that took years in development. It didn't happen overnight. Yeah. And some people fail to remember that or realize that building a clientele doesn't come overnight.
No, it definitely doesn't.
And neither does knowledge.
Mm-mm. And, you know, like right now I've got a big package under contract and someone made a comment to me saying, oh, it's just so easy because you work with investors on off-market property. Okay.
Do they know how hard it is to find off-market? When you told me it was off-market, I knew not to even ask any questions because off-market properties are like impossible to find. You've got to go scurry and dig through, like literally dig through things, find phone numbers, find the properties to go find them. It's not that easy. And you probably made several hundred phone calls to even get that one person that who was willing to sell.
And the thing is, it's like, okay, there's a skill set in finding opportunities off market. That's one thing. But then also building a relationship with your group of investors, it's not something that happens overnight either, because they're not going to just spend money on things that don't make sense. So it takes years of building rapport with these people in order for you to get that quick deal that seems quick right now. But it took you years or months to build that relationship, to find that property. So now you're getting paid, and from the outside looking in, oh my gosh, it's so easy. I could have done that. Anyone could have done that. Could you have done that? Did you want to spend all that time investing in yourself and doing the research, sending deals to investors? Probably not, because it's not gratifying in the moment. In the long term, there's opportunity, yes, but it takes so much time.
But the world's so used to instant gratification. They want what they want now. Like if versus calling 100, doing 100 cold calls and only getting one call in return, if not any. So people forget that it it does take time. It does. Although we may want instant gratification, it's not practical in a lot of situations, really any situation.
Okay. So what's
myth number two?
Myth number two.
Agents can work whenever they want to. They have flexibility. Now while part of that is true, although you have flexibility and can work whenever you want to, it becomes a, it feels like it becomes 24/7. When I used to work as an assistant, I was so excited when I had the opportunity to become an individual agent and get to work on my own schedule, have my own time, because before I was working 9 to 5, getting a set pay every month. But what I failed to realize is that, yes, I have the flexibility. I can work whenever I want to work. But what comes with that is there is no strict hours. Because of that, you're working whenever. If I'm sitting on the beach, if I'm at the pool, I'm still working. I don't have the luxury of being like, oh, what, once it hits 5 o'clock, I'm out of here. You're never going to hear from me again. No, it doesn't work that way. And the second part of that is, you know, the flexibility, but also, what was the other thing I mentioned?
I mean, the flexibility, like the pros or the cons?
There was flexibility, and then there was also the set hours.
We have to pause.
My memory is so bad.
Wait. So what are you trying to say?
I'm gonna start back at number two. I'm just gonna start over.
Okay.
So number two would be agents have the flexibility to work whenever they want to work. They don't have to work 9 to 5. Although that is correct, we do have the flexibility. You are not working 9 to 5, but you are working at an unlimited amount of hours and during a non-scheduled amount of time. When I first started in real estate, I started off as an assistant, and I was so excited when my broker let me be an individual agent, because I was like, oh yay, I can work whenever I want to. I can sleep in. I don't have to be at the office at 9 o'clock. I don't have anyone telling me what time I had to do anything. And so sure enough, I was sleeping until 11 and 12. but I was working until like 1 or 2 a.m.
Yeah.
So I had the flexibility I wanted, sure. But also because of that, I am also working all the time. There's no like after 5 o'clock, I'm off, I'm done, leave me alone, don't talk to me. That doesn't exist. Like I'm working whenever my client texts me. I'm working whenever I have to show property. I'm working on my client's schedule, not on my own schedule.
And the truth is, like, you'll get an agent that works hardly at all, and they're angry and frustrated and compare themselves to another agent. Oh, how come you're doing so much more than me? How come you're selling all these houses and I'm not? Well, it's because you're working 1 hour a day and I'm working 14 hours a day. That's why, you know, because that's a big difference. But a lot of that is behind the scenes. It's not shown on social media. But your business will work as much as you work it.
Agreed.
You know, and so it definitely is not, technically you can work as much or as little
Correct. As you it's, want. But you get what you put in. Mm-hmm. And people see me travel a lot because I do love traveling. It's one of my favorite things. It's one of my passions. Mm-hmm. And I will literally have people ask me, like, how do you travel so much? Like, how do you have the time? Because I work when I'm on vacation. Mm-hmm. I always have my laptop on me. If I'm at the beach, I'm at the pool, I always have my laptop with me. And mm-hmm. I always have my phone. I literally have a travel battery pack for mm-hmm. my laptop. And I have a travel smaller battery pack for my phone. Because you will never catch me with my phone dead or my laptop dead. Because mm-hmm. I always have those two things with me when I'm traveling. Because I understand, like, I have to be available for my clients. If I'm not physically here, then I've already scheduled for another agent to fill in for me while I'm gone. Like, I've already figured out all of those things to allow me to not physically have to be here, mm-hmm. along with ensuring that I'm available and reachable at any point in time. Mm-hmm. Like even with cruises, like I love going on cruises, but the thing is like a lot of times you don't have service on a cruise. And so I pay the extra amount of money for the Wi-Fi package because I have to be able to work while I'm traveling. Mm-hmm. And anyone that travels with me knows that. And they're respectful of that, that it's never a problem when I'm traveling, or I just wouldn't travel with that person, or I would just go by myself.
Mm-hmm. But the truth is, you have the luxury to do that now because you have built your business to be able to handle that, correct? Right? So if it's a new agent or someone who just has not worked that much,
you probably shouldn't be traveling. Yeah.
I mean, you should be working as much as you can. But if somebody has been able to build their business, build relationships with other agents, or have people on your team that cover for you, that's
right.
You know, you have to have your lifestyle.
Right.
But you've done that strategically as well.
Correct.
And that
correct.
Kind of, to be honest, goes into like the third myth that being a full-time agent and a part-time agent is the same. And if you're a consumer, it doesn't matter who you use. Because, you know, there's thousands of agents. Mm-hmm. But it really does matter. If you're a part-time agent, you cannot possibly provide the same level of service agreed. As a full-time agent. Now, technically, could you get a part-time agent that does a better job than a full-time agent? I guess it
sure.
depends on the person.
But you should right? be interviewing that person to know who's going to do the better job.
Correct. But just the bottom baseline is that if this other agent has another job or responsibility, there's going to be times when they can't answer the phone. There's going to be times where you might miss offers or inquiries on mm-hmm. the house just because that agent
is unavailable.
And if you're a buyer working with a part-time agent, if a house is on the market, it's a great deal. And they're going to have multiple offers and you have a small window of time, but they're at their other job. How are you going to get into the house? There's so many things where it's not the same. You definitely, mm-hmm. it's a better investment financially if you're a seller to hire an agent who's full-time. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And going back to what my note was and yours and kind of pairing them together, with a full-time agent, a lot of the times if you are traveling or doing other things, you can afford to have another agent step in and substitute for you. Like there's sometimes I've paid other agents to show property for me while I'm gone, mm-hmm. or I just have relationships with other agents like you, where I'm like, hey, can you show this house for me while I'm gone? And you know, you can call me when you mm-hmm. need it, when you need it, vice versa.
Yeah.
So, but as a part-time agent, you're not going to pay $100 or several hundred dollars to have an agent fill in for you for a week while you're gone.
Yeah.
Because you're not making that much money in real estate to be able to pay someone else to fill in for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, to be honest, when I first started, I decided that I was just going to go 100% in the business and not have any other job because I knew the only way sometimes dedication. To force yourself to be successful and to do the work that you need to do and to grow your business is to not give yourself a bunch of plan B, C, D, E.
Sure.
Because, you know, then you might fall back on that. And luckily it worked out, but it was a lot of work. So, I mean, if you're a buyer or seller, really think about when you're hiring an agent, are they full-time or are they part-time? Because it makes a huge difference. There's so many times where there's a listing that's sitting. And I'm like, it's priced great. Why is it not selling? I try to call
the agent.
They don't answer the phone. They don't answer email. They don't answer texts or calls. I'm like, huh?
Literally, you know,
I call their broker. Oh, they're probably at their job. Okay. So all of these showings or inquiries that have been happening, they're not getting a response. And it wasn't even that day. 2 days later, I get a text back from the agent. Oh, did your client still want to go look at that house? We had found a different property because we weren't able to. Mm-hmm. You know, go see it. So they missed out on potentially an offer from my buyer. Mm. And so it's just something to think about.
You're so right. I had a client who he's an investor client. So he buys and flips a lot. He had me check. he sent me a listing. He was like, hey, can you reach out to this agent to see what the commission is on this listing? And I was like, sure. So I texted the agent and I was like, oh, she said it's 3%, whatever, whatever. Texted my client and said, hey, it's 3%. She's like, okay, cool. Cause her client was wondering why it hasn't sold yet. And he was trying to test her, but he was using me to test her, mm-hmm. which I didn't know that obviously. And I told him, I said, half the battle with finding a good agent is someone that responds. Correct. If you find an agent who responds quickly and is on top of just communication, that's half the battle.
Yeah.
She's won. I said, I texted her and she responded very quickly. And I said, I promise you the agent isn't, I can almost guarantee you that the agent isn't the issue.
No.
The market's just slow right now, mm-hmm. and it's going to take a little longer to sell.
Yeah.
So, but if she didn't respond at all, then that would have been the issue right there. But yeah. Again, the marketing photos were nice. The marketing was good. So mm-hmm. I literally told him, I said, hey, the problems are probably not the agent, because she responded quickly. And that's literally half the battle half the time, is an agent who's going to be responsive.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if an agent takes more than 24 hours to respond.
And honestly, that's even a lot.
I mean, that's like the most I'm giving someone.
Yeah.
Like in case they're in the hospital, traveling. But right. You know, if any of those things are happening, you need to set up like a plan B for someone to respond for you. But a lot of times that's just not the case.
Agreed.
They just ghost. And mm-hmm. they wonder why the property's not selling.
I've even had agents where I've emailed or texted them, hey, I'm trying to submit an offer on your property. Like, can you give me details on what your sellers need, or da 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 da? And no response. No mm-hmm. response. And I get a response a week later. This literally actually happened. A week later, oh, sorry, I was on vacation and I didn't have my emails on, or whatever, whatever.
Can you imagine?
Why do you have a listing and you do not have your email on? Like, that blows my mind.
Also,
that blows my mind.
I mean, okay, if you're like really busy and you're trying to unplug, I get that.
Then have an auto email that says, hey, I'm on vacation. Please contact XYZ mm-hmm. to get access to my listings.
But I mean,
but like,
it's 2025. Let's be for real. Okay. We're all online all the time.
Correct.
Who's turning off
True.
Their email?
True.
Like, be for real.
True. Exactly.
So if someone's turning off their email, they're either.
They don't care.
I just don't know. Because if someone's taking a break and going on vacation and they're a great agent, they're sending those emails through to someone else to provide that great customer service.
Yeah.
So.
I agree. Well, that could be like a whole nother conversation about unresponsive agents.
Because I
deal with that all the time. Let's see. Okay. So you did number three. I'm on number four, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So passing the exam is all you need to be successful.
You go ahead.
I was excited about this one because I have heard and just seen so many times where agents are like, oh, well, people are just like in general, oh, I only have to take a 75-hour course to get my license. Okay, cool. Let me do that. And they go do the 75-hour course. They get their license and they're thrown into the field and they're like, what do I do now?
Yep.
Because the reality is the licensing class literally teaches you what not to do. So the real estate commission doesn't get sued or have a lot of issues. So that's basically all it does. It doesn't teach you how to be an agent. It mm-hmm. doesn't teach you what to do in the industry. It doesn't teach you how to cold call. It does not teach you to do anything. Mm-mm. At that point, you need to be on a real estate team or under some broker who offers training, which is very rare. Usually it's a team that you're going to be under for the training. Or another individual agent, like kind of like your experience and mine, mm-hmm. where they showed you the ropes and da da da, but they also take a portion of your pay mm-hmm. because they're taking their time to mm-hmm. invest in you. So I certainly believe that that's a huge misconception about anyone that's getting into real estate is, oh, I just need to pass my license and I can start making money. It doesn't work that way. When you're in real estate or any industry where you're starting a business, the reality is you've got to grow that business. You're doing the work. Mm-hmm. It's your time. It's your effort. Whatever you get in, you get out of it what you put in it.
Correct.
So if you're just thinking, oh, I'm going to get my license, I'm going to start and I can start getting leads or da da da, it doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to jump forward to my other myth as number five, because it pairs very well with each other, that all brokerages will train you, teach you, and what's the other one? They'll train you, teach you, and they'll give you leads. Mm. Huge misconception.
Yeah.
Brokerages are just there to ensure that you're following within the guidelines of the real estate commission and you're not breaking any laws or doing anything crazy, and they review your paperwork. Outside of that, they are not giving you leads. They are not training you. They are not teaching you anything. And if they do, they might have a separate program for that where they're, again, taking a part of your commission or paying, or you're paying for that kind of service in some way or shape or form. Mm-hmm. That's just something extra. But again, you're paying for it. Yeah. And the same with leads. Most brokerages do not give you leads. And if they do, they're taking a large cut out of the money they spent to get those leads.
I mean, nothing in this world is free, right? Correct. So I think, obviously, when you're looking at a brokerage, I really, from my personal experience, I have learned the two things you need to focus on is, number one, what technology does the brokerage offer? Are they up to date with how things work?
Sure.
You know, are they still using print only? Like, are they putting...
listing the MLS system.
Are they putting listings in a little magazine that's going to be on the street corner? Or are they up to date with social media marketing and how to run Facebook ads and, you know, keeping up with the times? Mm-hmm. But then also, it's less about the brokerage and more about connecting with an agent that you look up to and admire.
Agreed.
Because it could really be from any brokerage, if I'm honest. You'll find an agent that you really admire how they do business and you want to learn from them and get a mentor. So less about the brokerage because they're there to make money from you.
But so much is the agent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the brokerage will make money from you and make sure you're compliant with the law. Mm-hmm. But beyond that,
agreed.
You know, you have to meet people that you connect with and you want to learn from, and that's more valuable.
Agreed.
The last myth I want to talk about is something I hear all the time, and I can talk about it till I'm blue in the face. Sellers will think, oh, I want to start high on the price, so I have room to negotiate down.
Mm-hmm.
And for many reasons, that doesn't work. But primarily because no one is being forced into buying your home. So if your house is overpriced, no one's going to buy it. No one's going to look at it.
Correct.
And then over time, it's going to become a stigmatized property. And you have to remember, this is the open market. So you either have to offer something. Your property has to be in excellent location, excellent condition, or something special or unique about it. So as an example, maybe it's in a great school area, or maybe it's a lakefront property, something unique to it, or maybe it's got a tennis court in the basement, something that would allow someone to be willing to overpay for the property. If it doesn't have any of those things and you're just pricing it $50,000 for fun above the list price or above the market value, it's going to sit there. And then what's going to happen is you're going to get frustrated because you think your home is worth that, but the market is telling you, you'll know within 1 to 2 weeks if you're high. Because if it's not location and it's not condition, then it's the price.
Very true. Very true.
So I think that wraps up our time for today. These are just some myths that a lot of people talk about and we hear all the time. So hopefully this brought some clarity. Thank you for joining us. We release a new episode every Wednesday. You can follow us on social media and listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for watching.